Welcome to the Fuckball. Ooh. Well, there's that. For the day, you guys. So buckle up.
We're going to do something like a little bit new today in that we're going to introduce ourselves because we have some new listeners coming in every week, so we want to make sure you guys know who we are.
Yeah, you guys, we have people listening from 40 states, so that's like crazy. Thank you. As my husband said, though, who are those other 10 states? Get a friend.
But like, I like that Chris was like thinking like analytical, like how do we get the other 10
states? Strategy.
How do we get them?
Arkansas, what is wrong with you?
Sorry if you're listening from Arkansas.
Well, they're not. That's the point. Okay, oh, I'm Erin. One of the foxes. Don't really know how to introduce myself. Is that it?
Sure.
I'm Erin. No, you're not.
I was thinking it would go a little bit more something like, hi, I'm Casey. I'm a full-time wedding photographer based in Washington, D.C.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
I'm Erin.
We'll be better next time.
I have a company called Local Grit, which is a digital marketing agency, and I'm also a brand photographer. Thanks for joining us. Foxhole's really about, like, welcoming people that celebrate the irregular, sort of just getting a little weird, getting a little real about things that affect probably all of us in some way. So if you ever have any questions, find us on the internet at GoDownTheFoxhole or GoDownTheFoxhole.com.
Yeah.
Okay, so today is going to be all sorts of fun. We are sitting here with Miss Ashley Hightower of Cobalt Chronicles, which is probably where you primarily have seen her, and also Contracts for Creatives, which is her new endeavor. So welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, we're super excited. We're going to go over some like actually really interesting and kind of like tactical stuff today, which like is just really super relevant to my life right now, so excuse my future rant as I prepare for it. But before we do that, do we want to dive into Words to Live By for the week?
Yeah, let's also, Ashley, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit before
sure.
we dive into...
Yeah, so like Erin mentioned, I have a style and travel blog, cobaltchronicles.com, and over the past year I've launched a new website called Contracts for Creatives, which is at ashleyhightower.com, where I do contract and legal work for creative entrepreneurs and small business owners.
Cool.
Cool.
So important. I mean, it just seems like such a niche that like... has been needed, so I'm just like so happy to have you here. There's so much to know.
Very cool. Share.
Yeah. So what are your words to live by, Ashley?
Okay, so mine is more kind of not this week.
There's a puppy here. Oh wow.
Distractions.
Where did you come from?
Okay.
But more kind of like a every week kind of mantra.
Okay.
And it is
is it
a hell yeah? So I'm like really big on not wasting time.
Yeah.
So when like commitments, coffee shop dates, like happy hours, events after work come up, I always am like, is it a hell yeah? And if it's not a hell yeah, I'm like, no, I'm not going. Like,
okay,
it's not
so
work.
Smart. That means we were a hell yeah.
Yeah.
High five, Kate. That's just so smart. I mean, I feel like so many people, including myself, we get like put into like I feel like a have to situation,
right.
And it's
yeah.
just such a good way to protect your time.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. What's yours, Kate?
Mine is be here now.
Ooh. Getting real meta here.
I just have like a lot going on right now. I am in the middle of doing like 3 weddings in a week. So
nice.
Just trying to focus on being here in the moment and not worrying about things in the future or the past, yada yada. So just living in the moment.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go a little zenny too now that you did. Okay, it's inhale courage, exhale fear. A little bit of like get a little more ballsy. I feel like I've been a little bit of a wimp lately when it comes to some stuff, and I just need to like suck it up. Like I'm the first person to be like, if it feels uncomfortable, it probably means you're growing. Mm-hmm.
Not always.
Sometimes there is bad discomfort out there.
It's trying to move on.
Yeah, exactly. So that's gonna be mine. Inhale courage, exhale fear. Just sort of like jump in and do stuff. That's where we are right now.
My Clementine's like really distracting.
You're really, really into your Clementine.
I need to like put it away.
Casey is like kind of beautiful mindishly peeling a Clementine right now. It's kind of scaring me. Just eat it.
I'm just gonna put it away for emergency snacks.
Favorite thing?
Oh yeah, so mine kind of ties to Ashley's daily word or words to live by. One of my favorite things right now is the word nope.
like it.
Just not doing it. I don't know why. This week it's just been like people, I keep like hearing things or people keep asking me things. I'm just like, nope, hard, like arm X's, nope. So I don't know. We're actually doing a podcast later with a woman who kind of like taught me to say no. So I might use it again. You might hear me saying nope later too. Okay, so that's my first one. My second one, I have to pull out my list because I have so many things.
I thought you were just pulling up your skirt, but it's
fine. You need to ease that off me, Casey. Okay, my second thing is, the New York Times cooking newsletter. I think I get it every day, actually, which is a little overwhelming. I should probably, like, tone it down. But it's, like, what to cook this week is, like, the, and then it sends you daily recipes. And I find that they're, like, just easy enough that I can do it. They're, you know how sometimes, like, they're just so complicated. Like, I won't ever do that. So they're, like, easy enough, quick enough, and also delicious.
Are they ingredients that you already have?
Yeah. Like, I'm not one to go be, like, Google what an ingredient is and go to some, like, random shop. So, like, it's all pretty basic. And it's usually pretty, like, healthy, like, home, like, feel-good food.
What have you made so far?
There was, like, a Thai chicken dish.
Yummy.
That I did, like, a coconut curry type situation. There was like a cool marinade for a steak, kind of like a chimichurri sauce type situation. And that's all I can remember right now.
That's good.
That's good.
That's good. That's good. For me, that's good. Okay. There's this artist that I found on Instagram. If you follow her Instagram, you saw it the other day, the sparkle egg.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Her name is Sarah Shaquille. She's at Sarah Shaquille. And she's basically like a glitter artist. Yeah. It's amazing. Like she takes like either sort of like famous pictures or she creates her own from photos and adds like a glitter element to it. Mm. Like she took a Barbie and put glitter stretch marks on her. And I was like, yes, girl.
That's amazing.
So she just, I don't know, it's like funky. It like makes me really happy. And the quote on her profile actually says, "Each picture heals a part of me and I hope it heals a part of you too."
Oh, cute.
So it's cool because like, I'm not gonna lie, that sparkle egg made me real happy.
I know, it is really fun.
And that's kind of like how all her stuff is. So if you want to check out something interesting.
There's another artist that's similar to that. She does like fashion stuff, but her name's Kelly Meeker. Her stuff is really fun too.
Such a good name for
her. Yeah,
artist.
She like does like these really interesting like cutouts and replaces them with like really cool graphics.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay, so my favorite things this week, I just, 2 weeks ago I started taking a magnesium supplement.
Ooh,
and
yeah,
I
do one of those.
I feel like I'm, like, much less bloated.
Uh-huh.
So that feels great.
I'm so happy for you. You look great.
That's one of my favorite things. Another thing is I got this Very Fit Pro, like, step tracker wrist bracelet thing.
It's like a Fitbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it a Fitbit?
It's not an actual Fitbit. I think it was probably, like, cheaper on Amazon. Or
she's, like, tapping because it's not working right now.
But it's really cool. It, like, tracks my sleep, and then it also tracks my, like, resting and max heart rate, which is why I wanted it.
Nice.
But that's been fun to see how much I don't sleep.
In my favor.
And then my last thing is I just bought the True Roots cookbook by Kristen Cavallari.
And it's, I love her.
I do too.
It's gluten-free, dairy-free, and refined sugar-free, but it's like, that turned me off at first, but it's like real food. Like she has like really good recipes. She has this that we're going to, well, by we, I mean my husband's going to make it. It's
I just
feel
like I don't even know you right now. Do you see my face of discomfort?
It's this
dairy-free Casey?
Well, I'm not gonna like be dairy-free,
okay,
gluten-free.
Okay.
It's just
really
like the cookbook is really great. It has really awesome recipes that actually sound good and not disgusting.
Yum.
So one of them is a roast duck with a blackberry glaze.
Question, where do you buy a duck?
Of course Richard bought it. I didn't buy
it. Like where did you go?
Richard wouldn't know where to go. I mean maybe a butcher, I don't know.
Maybe
Whole Foods.
I
don't know. My husband
seen duck at Whole Foods.
Chef Richard does the
Chef
does
Richard,
the
help. But she's like, I don't know, it just appears.
It kind of does. So those are my favorite things this week.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
What are yours?
Okay, let's see. So I recently got out of the corporate world. So my
favorite
thing this week is all my jeans. I don't have to wear black pants anymore.
Nice.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It was so exciting. Like,
that is the best
day,
feeling of all time.
Throwing
off,
out my blazers was my
here.
Favorite day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I donated them. I didn't throw them out because I don't like to like throw stuff out. But yeah.
Yeah.
Such a good feeling.
I have one. Just I have like this fear. Like if I feel like if I don't get rid of them, if I get rid of them all, I'm gonna like be forced to go back into the corporate world, and I won't have one. So I kept one.
Yeah, I kept two full suits. So. Let's see. Next is, so I recently tried. Have y'all tried the Ordinary skincare product?
Yes, I have one of them. Yeah.
So I was in New York, two weekends ago. So I went into the Deciem.
Oh yeah.
And so I picked up the Buffet Serum.
Oh cool. So,
like,
do you like
their
it?
Face serum. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like it.
What's it do? What's its deal?
It's supposed to do all the things.
Oh yeah.
That's what it's called, the Buffet.
Youthfulness. Oh cute. I like that.
Oh, yeah, such a fun name.
Repairing. Like dark spots and wrinkles and like
cool.
All the jazz. But I just needed something to go under my moisturizer.
Oh yeah.
I'm liking it.
Nice.
And they're like super reasonably priced.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
It was like $9.
Yeah.
For a normal size bottle
of
serum.
The vitamin C serum I have from them is like $11 and it's good.
So here's my question. Vitamin C is vitamin C. Yeah. Why is like, you know, SkinCeuticals $198,000 and the Ordinary is $9.
It's brand name and like and like I also think with Skin C because they do so many like clinical trials, that's probably why the price
doctor
is,
shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very interesting.
What else do you like in these days?
Let's see. Okay, so have y'all tried Khalifa coconut milk and then they're like almonds and coconut. Almond and coconut creamer, and then their almond milk.
And you're loving it.
So I'm like, yeah, I love it. And I like unintentionally have gone dairy free at home.
Yes,
like,
girl.
I didn't really mean to.
Yeah, same.
But then I started drinking that. I love it. And
that's awesome.
Now I'm like a snob.
Yeah.
About my creamer that goes in my coffee.
I used to be, and now I started using almond milk, and I like used to judge Casey a lot for doing that because it just like looks so gross.
Yeah.
And I started doing it during Whole30.
Oh yeah.
And I wouldn't go back now. Like first of all, I found out the dairy like ruins me, but. I like it now.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
not so
bad.
It's very
good.
Not so bad. All right, what else?
Those are my three.
All right. I can't count. You'll find. I have a lot of flaws. So
I can come up with some more.
You're like, I like this room. What was, most importantly, what was your AIM screen name?
All right, so mine was, this is so bad. You're not going to, it's like a joke, though.
Okay.
It's Gibbles 98.
Okay.
And it was based, okay, this was back in like, what, like 97 or 98.
Yeah.
It's the 98. So we used to go on beach trips when we were in like middle school. And it would be everyone the same age, and we would all like meet people on the beach at night. You know,
totally.
And parents were like having wine in the
right.
car. So I'm pretty sure it was a boy that I met. It was part of his last name.
Oh my god, you like married him.
Like incorporated into a screen name at some point. And then I think I changed it eventually to something more like my name and some numbers.
Oh yeah, I love
that
it.
That was my first one back in like.
It's like a little scandalous. I like that. Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's so good. So when you were Gibbles, did you always know that you wanted to number one be a blogger, and number two, a lawyer, and number three, a small business owner focusing in this very niche area?
No, to all of the
above. What did you want to be?
Well, bloggers didn't exist.
I know, yeah. Crazy. There's that.
Yeah. No, I wanted to be a meteorologist for sure.
Cool.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I would buy like all the weather books at the, what are they called, book fairs?
Oh yeah, I miss my dad.
Oh my god,
would, like,
book fairs.
Miss a book fair. Yeah. Do you remember those Scholastic order forms?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Freaking love those too.
Oh my gosh, so funny. So funny, I love that.
It didn't really pan out. But.
Where am I at?
And like, where are you right now?
Yeah.
No, I love that. That's cool. But that's also kind of like a calculated job too, so you're not too far off.
Yeah, and I majored in science.
Okay.
So, maybe a little bit.
Yeah. You're like, I'll
go back.
So what was your first job ever?
So first job ever was a lifeguard.
Yeah.
At like our little tennis club.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And what, like, from Gibbles to lifeguarding to where you are now, how'd you sort of go from, how'd you get into your industry? Both, I mean, you're kind of in two industries, I would consider.
Yeah. Okay, so when I graduated college, I went to graduate school for a minute.
Okay.
Because I couldn't decide if I wanted to do med school or law school.
Okay.
So went to graduate school, figured out I wanted to go to law school.
Okay.
Went to law school in Alabama. Then graduated from law school, started working at a large law firm in Birmingham.
Okay.
Worked there for almost 4 years, then decided I wanted to move to a bigger city. So I moved to D.C., got a job at a large publishing firm
okay.
in town, and started cool. doing legal writing and legal editing.
Oh,
so my job, I kind of got out of practicing law. Because the hours were just crazy.
Okay.
It's yeah, very stressful. And the firm I worked for has an office in D.C.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was kind of odd. I was like, oh, you're going to just move into the office in D.C.
You're like, nope, super quitting. Yeah. Bye.
Yeah. Getting out of the whole practicing law deal. So I came here and started working here. My job, though, required a legal degree. So I'm okay. still using my legal degree, but just in a more like corporate 9-to-5
yeah.
role
yeah.
For a publishing company. So I would edit and write articles.
Okay.
Cool. How did you decide between medical school and
law school?
Law school.
So I applied to both. And it was just like the process of like meeting different people in the different fields
yeah.
and then like really thinking of what I really was good at and like enjoy doing. I was a biology major in undergrad, but I always like excelled in the English and literature classes instead
yeah, sure.
of like the hard sciences.
Those are two
yeah.
very intense application problems.
Seriously. Seriously.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy. The good cool. thing, or I guess the for medical school, it's very hard to get in out of state.
Right.
So, like, those schools are pretty limited.
Yeah.
But then law school, it was like a free for all. It was like, we're all can I apply?
That's cool. I mean, it's
yeah.
kind of like,
yeah.
it's very self aware at that point in your life to be able to like sit back and be like, okay, which direction do I want to go?
Yeah.
I feel like some people now are still like super unsure. So.
I think I just knew I wanted to go to more school.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you were in school for a long time.
Yeah.
8 years, 9 years.
Yeah.
Crazy town.
I love school though.
Me too.
I did not like school.
I wish I could. If somebody would pay me, I'd go to school all the time.
Me too.
They just need to pay me.
Well,
I love
might
homework.
Have liked school better if someone paid me.
Paid for me.
Yeah, that's true.
I might have been a little bit more motivated if they paid me to go to school. Yeah.
Yeah,
very true. So when did Cobalt Chronicles come to me?
Okay, so when I started my job in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
at the publishing company, it was a 9-to-5 job.
Okay, and
so
this is what? This has to be like...
This was 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've been in D.C. almost 4 years.
Okay.
So 4 years ago, I moved to D.C., started working there. It was a 9-to-5 job. So coming out of practicing law, I thought I had all this free time.
Yeah.
So I was like, what am I going to do with my free time?
Right.
I just moved to D.C. and I bought a DSLR camera.
Cool.
And started just like documenting everything around city. And then at the time I was reading a ton of blogs. And before I moved to DC, I was reading a ton of DC blogs, like trying to figure out what was going on here,
yeah.
like what the restaurants were like,
mm-hmm.
what everyone was up to. And then once I got here and had time on my hands, I thought, you know, wait, why don't I just start a blog?
Yeah.
So I started blogging, and in the beginning it was about everything.
Yeah.
Like I would take the worst photos at night, like at a restaurant, wherever, like with a new place we went, you know, it was so bad.
Also, like, didn't matter then.
No, it didn't matter.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't, yeah.
It didn't matter, and then, like, I didn't know anyone.
Right.
So, and, like, my
blogging
mom
for myself.
Writing the blog. Yeah,
yeah,
so, like, it didn't really matter at all.
It's kind of like a journal.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of
cool.
how that started, and then obviously evolved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you consider that to be a business or a hobby?
It's a business, for
cool.
sure. Yeah. And then, I mean, I think it always started out as a business. Like, I always, from the beginning, I've always posted on Monday, Wednesday, Friday
okay.
on the blog. So not that I went into it thinking, you know, like, okay, how can I make money off
yeah.
of this? But I always treated it not just like a side thing that I could just, like, post whenever I wanted
right,
to post.
Right. Well, you seem like you're probably
right.
pretty regimented anyway. So
yeah.
it kind of seems like you've accomplished like the impossible of combining like a creative and like a very structured career. You know what I mean? Like a legal and creative. You don't usually tie those together, but it's really cool
yeah.
how you've been able to like have your creative outlet and also be a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah, it's awesome. And now I can help creatives with their legal.
Yeah.
It's
very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So smart. How did you come up with the idea to do contracts for creatives?
So I'd say it took me about a year and a half or 2 years in a blogging to really kind of develop a blogging network in DC and then start attending more blogging conferences. Mm-hmm. And just by talking to more people and like getting to be friends with bloggers and friends with photographers mm-hmm. in the area and then attending the conferences, it became very apparent very quickly that contracts were missing. So like a lot of my friends who are bloggers, you know, they would just rely on email communications with brands when they're doing these like huge projects.
Yeah.
Like, no, you need a contract.
Yeah.
And so it kind of like evolved from that of like seeing the need and then going to conferences and seeing other niches out there, like an accounting person, like an accountant who just does accounting for creative entrepreneurs. And so it was kind of like connecting those dots, like, wait, I can do legal work for people that I want to help and like want to succeed.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, you know, working for a client at a firm who you don't really have any sort of connection to.
Cool.
So, yeah.
When did you leave the 9-to-5ers?
My last day was last Monday.
Oh my gosh! Congrats! Welcome to it!
Thanks.
So what was like your motivator for like, this is the time?
I think it was just like I got to the point where time was the limiting factor mm-hmm. of growing either business.
Yeah.
It was that, you know, I'm an early riser anyway, so I would just be working all morning before work. Every lunch break I would go to Starbucks.
How do you wake up?
5-ish.
I just like need to be you for like 5. I want to be a morning person.
I don't stay up that late. You know, I don't think I need that much sleep. I go to bed by like 11.
Wow. Oh my god.
Like if I don't sleep for 8 or 9 hours, I'm a miserable human. So like.
I get in bed at like 10:30. Mm-hmm. So I fall asleep by like 11.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
Can't wait to practice that this week. Congrats. It's so exciting.
So you just felt
like it was like you couldn't prioritize the things that you're passionate about, essentially.
Yeah, and it just got to the point where, you know, you're sitting in your office and you're like, this is a waste of time.
Yeah,
I could be
right.
doing so many other things that I like, need to be doing that to grow.
Like, I don't have time to be doing my job.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally
yeah,
out there.
That's like, fun. Like, the corporate job is just,
yeah.
I think certain people
yeah.
are there and it's like being forced to sit somewhere for 8 hours.
Right.
There's not that much work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Plus, it sounds like you had grown your businesses as much as you could working full time and having a side hustle,
right.
and now it's time to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew I had enough stuff kind of like coming up that I felt
yeah.
would be okay.
That's awesome.
Yay.
Yeah.
So, what types of clients are you working with right now for contracts for creative?
So, mostly bloggers,
okay.
photographers, wedding planners, some web designers, and then just like people just starting out that
okay.
are kind of going out on their own for like I'm working with some calligraphers and
cool.
like people
that's
just
fine.
Doing like freelance
yeah.
kind of social media work that are they were like I don't know what to do, you know, I'm just
yeah.
starting, can you help?
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't we just launch into this, so I keep getting questions like what exactly do you, what services do you offer?
Yeah, sure. So I mainly provide contract services, and with that it's custom contracts. So
okay.
if you are a photographer and you are hiring, or a client is hiring you and you
mm-hmm.
need a contract to give your client. So whether that be like a family for a portrait session,
right.
or if you are a lifestyle photographer working with bloggers and you need your own contract to give to bloggers to sign.
Okay.
So custom contracts and contract templates.
Okay.
So like for example, that example just now, the photographer, like that pretty much can be a contract template.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really need to be a custom contract because it's going to be the same contract you're using over and over. So
yeah.
I can create something that you can literally just fill in the blanks
yeah.
for each different client.
That's cool.
The custom contracts are more like bigger kind of
ongoing.
Yeah, like bigger projects. Or
gotcha.
I've done a couple of like partnership agreements
okay.
where we're going to business together. Just
got
like
it.
a bigger name sort of contract. And then contract review is a big part
okay.
of the business too.
Mm-hmm.
So if people have been working off of their own contracts that they made up off of, you know, got offline,
right.
or, like distracted themselves, like I'll take a look at them for them and make any suggested
okay.
revisions. And then a lot of the times in the blogging world, brands will send contracts
okay.
over to bloggers, and so I'll review those and say, you know,
got
we
it.
Need to ask them to take this
got
out.
It.
Or, like, you're
that
not, you're giving away all your rights to all your photos.
Okay.
You
wow,
this.
So great.
That's
yeah.
awesome. So just for people looking to, like, how do you, like, work with the brand? Is it usually, like, a one-time engagement? Is it, like, an hourly? Like, how do you sort of, like, engage with your client?
Yeah, so most of my contract work is flat fee.
Okay.
Just because it's more manageable
for sure.
me and the client.
Yeah.
So they kind of know what they're getting into. to. Yeah. But if it's more consulting work, like if they need ongoing help, it's an hourly, okay. hourly rate. But yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how bad of an idea is it to pull a contract offline and adapt it to your own services?
I mean, it's better than nothing.
Okay.
Like, it's not terrible.
Okay.
But I think, like, for example, when I review contracts, a lot of the time I can tell that people pull it offline because mm-hmm. it will have stuff in there that I'm like, why is this even
just, like,
here?
Irrelevant
yeah,
to
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, doesn't even, I reviewed one recently and it had, like, all these references to this Canadian law.
Why did you send this to
me? That's so funny.
It says whereas and hence, so
yeah,
it must be
exactly,
true.
Exactly. And like that's what I try not to include in my contracts that I draft. It's like those words are so unnecessary and
yeah.
just in there. Just
hence,
whereas, well.
Whence.
Yeah.
That's why I write my contract. I feel like Jim Carrey when
yeah,
he's like,
young
time to take a full kite.
What?
It must be true. Can you tell I'm a lawyer? I feel like it's like a lawyer's nightmare. But I'm like, so what if, and question. No, I don't like it.
Yeah, this is not the worst thing ever,
okay.
but, you know. It's
1 point for me. All right, so. Okay, so I'm just going to dive into this because I'm just, like, going to pee my pants with rage is, like, how I keep describing it. Okay, 1 point on this podcast, one of my favorite things was a company called Honor Creative because they're redoing my rebranding. I am now retracting officially on the record with a lawyer here that statement. And here's why. I have a lot of questions surrounding the very subjective nature of contracts, especially with creatives. You know what I mean? So, like, I feel like because things like design and photography and creative services are so subjective, there's so much, like, leeway as far as, like, what you can and cannot, like, enforce. And so I've had people tell me in the past, like, very few contracts for creatives are even upholdable in court just because of the subjective nature of things. But so my situation with Honor is that I engaged in a branding project and a website project with them. I learned pretty quickly on the website side of things that they don't actually do custom websites. They basically just do Squarespace implementation, mm-hmm. which I can very easily do myself. I'm also in the industry. And I told them that from the beginning. So once I found that out, I was like, okay, you guys, like, this is not actually the right thing for my business. I'm going to go ahead and pull that contract, but I'd like to finish up the branding project. And they were like, well, we're not going to give you your branding until you pay the rest, like the hours worked on the website. And I'm like, number one, those are two separate contracts. Number two, they kind of like what they delivered for branding was like an elementary school kid could have done it, but I paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of like, they're like, we're proud of this work. And I'm like, it's not even on brand for you. It's very obviously mm-hmm. like you mailed it in, but that's something that's so subjective.
Yeah.
Like, what can you can't, like the contract says I have to pay for the work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I
that's what's so tricky.
Yeah, I think it is tricky. I mean, what I always advise people is you just, and like just knowing that from like going into a contract, like being
yeah.
so specific in the contract from the outset. Because I think a lot of the times people end up working with people you trust and
right.
you're like, oh, they're a friend of a friend. And like,
right.
you know, and so it's you just put general terms down.
Yeah.
And it's like you always want to think worst case scenario going into the contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, just be sure you're like super, super detailed
okay.
About
so
me each end.
Okay, so me as the client, like I would be within my rights to go back and be like, let's add a clause that says like if I'm
for
not
sure.
satisfied, I can like get out of 50% of the payment or something.
For sure.
Okay, I've never thought about going back from like the
that's
client.
That's such a good
side.
Point.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, I think most people, like that's what I tell bloggers when I work with them and a brand sends them a contract.
Okay.
Like most all the time people are willing to work with you on the contract because like it's not supposed to be a one-sided
right.
contract.
Yeah.
It's
like
supposed
both,
to
yeah.
be both. Yeah. Like
okay.
on both ends. And I don't think, and then it does sometimes come to the point where you're like, okay, well they won't put in the one thing that's like very important to me. So is it worth
right.
working?
Yeah. And like if they're like,
if
we're not going to change our contract.
Right. And like if they're going to be a pain in the very beginning.
Right.
That's a pretty good sign
like,
they're going to be a pain throughout the whole process.
Right.
I mean, that's
yeah.
such a good point though, because their yeah. literal words to me, they were like, we're not going to let a client tell us what our contract should do. Those are actual words
yeah,
they said to me. So
yeah.
I'm just going to put that on the record too. okay, let's get back to my question. What are the most common mistakes creatives make when writing contracts?
So the most common mistakes that I see are So I guess it kind of depends on what creative industry you're in, but what I see a lot is people not including clauses to protect their copyrights and things, and including language to protect like licensing of photographs. And I see this obviously with photographers, but bloggers as well, and like graphic designers. So especially in the world of like online everything.
Is that like royalties and stuff, or is that?
So like if a so we'll use a blogger and a brand for an example. So say they have a contract and the brand is paying the blogger a certain amount of money to produce these photographs for to be published on the blogger's blog and social media accounts. Well, that needs to be put like very clear in the contract that they can't be used for any other purpose besides that, because a lot of the times the brands will include language that's super broad and it says they can use them for whatever. And most of the time bloggers just agree because they think like, oh, this is a big brand and I want to work with them. But that literally means they can use your photos that you hire a photographer. Like they can use them in a
Well, you know, that's interesting because a lot of agencies from the agency side, which is where I'm coming from, like I've hired like you and a lot of local bloggers. That's like what the conception can what the idea is that they think they own the blogger images.
And I think as long as, like, I always say, you know, if the brand is, like, very set on they want to, say you want it to have the photographs, like, that's perfectly fine.
They just have to pay for the licensing and rights.
And then also, like, obviously with the blogger, if you're hiring a photographer, like, you need to have a separate agreement with your photographer as well and buying the licensing rights from the photographer.
I own the rights to most.
That's in my contract for everything I do, that all of the images are owned by me.
Always, forever.
And that, well, that's interesting because, like, from my brand photography side of things, I sign my rights away to the client. Because it's like that's the purpose I give to them.
But do you, you should charge them a licensing fee as well.
Like, is that like a one time fee or is that, so I feel like I do, I just include that in my fee.
But it might be helpful to, for them to see it itemized too.
To put it in there.
And even just like even describe like what the licensing fee is for. Where they can use them. Or you could say you
like can cannot use be them used everywhere. In porn, for example. Just putting it out there. Okay, cool. So that is one. Royalties and licensing. What other mistakes do people?
So this is like legal jargon, but So you always need to include a force majeure clause, which basically is like covering you in case something crazy comes up. So it's basically like quote acts of God happen. So like if you know your grandmother dies, you have to go out of town for like a week, and so you're not gonna meet your deadline. Just a clause that includes like if anything unforeseen like comes up, like you'll try your best basically to get work done, but like
Cool.
So, I think a lot of people leave that out, and it's just a good like
the
only boilerplate clause to have.
The only time I've ever seen that is with my wedding photographer.
I got that one too.
It's like if I blow away and win. Okay, what else? Anything else on that one?
So this is just kind of, I already mentioned this, but I think a lot of creatives rely on just email conversations as contracts instead of just having a contract. And you can have stuff in the email, like having it written down somewhere is better than nothing, obviously. And, you know, in a contract, you can say, you know, outside of this contract, like, blah, 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 will be agreed upon in writing. So, like, it's good to have stuff in email, obviously, but like you need a contract. You need the formal document. And I think it just like goes along with having a business. Like you need to be serious and have a contract. You don't just be like chit-chatting back and forth through email. Like that's what you're relying on.
Okay. I just feel like I'm processing a lot of information that I'm doing wrong right now.
What are three ways that creatives can protect themselves in contracts?
Okay, so include the force majeure clause is one. Include a limitation of liability clause, which is another kind of boilerplate clause that you want to include in your contracts. So, like for example, the relationship you were talking about earlier, Aaron. So, I always suggest limiting the liability to either, so if you're getting paid for a service, limiting it to having to pay the client back for any work that's undone, and on the client's end, like limiting the liability to only then only having to pay what they owe you for the work actually done. So if like the contract gets terminated before the end of the contract,
right.
so say your relationship goes sour,
right.
and the contract ends, like each person is only liable up to a certain amount.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Is that like the fees in the, do you mean like the fee, like say it was a $5,000 contract, it's like up to that amount or less than that amount, or is that like, you know, like in perpetuity for like damages or something?
So I would.
Please help me. I'm just kidding.
I would say to, I would always limit it. Like, you could include the damages language in there, but then that kind of opens you up to being liable for that as well. So I advise that, like, on my end, when like I'm going into a project with somebody, I would like to know, like, I can't come after you for, like, you know, millions of dollars in damages, but also, like, you can't come after me for that either. So, like, the damages are, you know, whatever money we, like, owe each other, basically, out of the work that has been done.
Got it. Okay.
So just including, like, a limitation of liability clause.
Gotcha. Alright. Pretty sure that's on there. Alright.
And then number three, I would say, and we've kind of talked about this too, is like be clear on your expectations on each party's end. So just being like super detailed about exactly what you are doing for, you know, the other party and exactly what their obligations are to you.
But so this is where that subjectiveness to me comes in. Like, I was clear that I didn't want shitty work and I got shitty work. So like, how do you know what I mean? Like, it's like if they're going to pretend like that's up to their standard.
I think too, I don't know if it was in this contract or not, but like you could add in a proof clause that like you want to have a proof before the final project is delivered.
They
were also like semi-fraudulent about what they were selling. So like that's the other part of that's like sketchy.
Yeah, like I found out they actually outsourced their design, which to me is
but they
like,
also just like don't do custom work. They just fill in blanks.
So that's all very, but then there's also like in that contract, there's nowhere in that contract that says I, whatever her name is, am the one doing direct, you know what I mean? That's what opens up so much question. And like,
and
I would have thought to be like, I literally use the example when for like photography, I don't think to ask somebody like, oh, so you do custom websites, do you customize them? It's like somebody being like, oh, you're a photographer, do you shoot on automatic? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't, that shit doesn't occur to me.
Yeah.
And I think that I just need to do a better job of, like, due diligence of, like, not assuming that people aren't inherently
good. I think thinking the worst case scenario. Like, even
do you live, like, a very scared life, though?
Well, yeah, I mean, even, like,
like, preparing yourself and, like, being scared.
Yeah, and, like, I've had numerous occasions, friends will come to me. And they come to me, and they're like, we want to start this business. I'm like, okay, great, do you have a partnership agreement?
Right.
And they're like, no, but it's fine. Like, we know we're doing this, but we need a contract for this other thing. Like, no, you need a partnership agreement because even, I know you are friends right now.
Yeah.
And, like, hopefully you remain friends. But you always kind of have to think, like, worst case scenario.
For sure.
And you want to have it in writing because then it's just, like, a shit show.
Like, so do you recommend, like, that's when there's money being exchanged or there's situations where you need a contract, like, and it's not necessarily always financial?
Yeah. I mean, I think if there's ever a chance where money is involved, maybe not necessarily exchanged, because like the partnership, like they're not exchanging money,
Here's my next step.
Okay.
What consequences?
This is like Aaron's personal consultation.
Literally. But I just felt like when I this happened to me, I got scammed, like, in my opinion, scammed out of, like, $5,000, and I started telling people about this, and people were like, oh my god, me too, like, this happened to so many people, and I'm just, like, just in, so having, like, a simple, like, very basic conversation, there's so many things that we can all do to protect ourselves, and also just, like, protect the project, like, more than anything, like, I'm pissed I lost $5,000, I'm more pissed I don't have branding, you know what I mean, like, that's what sucks, so it's, like, I mean, I just think that I didn't even know that something like your business existed until, like, it's usually too late, right? But, like, now that people know, it's like I would absolutely have done this on the front end had I known. So, glad
we're I would just advise, especially since you said you didn't feel comfortable, like, saying anything back to them when they sent you the contract, like, I or anyone, any attorney would be happy to review it to kind of say, you know, okay. Like, I suggest asking him about this clause or, like, adding in, like, some clause. And that's what mainly I do when I review people's contracts. It's not saying, like, oh, you know, this is stupid. Why do you have it in there? It's, like, suggesting, like, hey, why don't you go back and ask them to add in.
And, like, the whole point of that attorney relationship is they have your back, right?
Right.
Like, it's
exactly.
just basically to take a look and say, like, here's what you could do to protect yourself better.
Exactly.
Such a dream. What you did. So consequences.
Yeah.
Back to consequences.
Let's flip the situation and say what. Like, what would be your first move if you're dealing with a client who refuses to pay? And let's just say you've already provided services.
Been there, too.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess up front, I would just advise getting your payments in installments on the front end, which I know that's, like, hindsight.
Mm-hmm. So, like, charge on the first of the month, rather than the last of the month.
Yeah, or even if, you know, get half of your payment at the beginning of the project and then half, you know, after delivery, or even like after they've seen a proof, but right before the final delivery.
Right. So that's how like photos and graphics and stuff
work
on like a retainer basis. I've now started front loading my contracts instead of doing like work done. It's like, I don't know, it felt weird to do it, but now I'm like, you have to protect yourself.
Yeah. And then even like with the retainer stuff, I think just having them agreeing to like a membership kind of service, like a retainer service, like you just charging them, like they give you their payment method and like they've agreed to pay this amount.
Oh my god, you're a genius.
On their contract.
Yeah.
I think of it as sort of like a membership agreement. Like, you know, you have your credit card information on file and like you send them the invoice obviously to like know how much they're being charged, but like when they sign the contract, just like they agree to be invoiced and charged on the first of the month or whatever the day is.
That's so smart. So I have another question.
So
for example, if one of my brides canceled their wedding less than a month before the actual wedding, like what happens then if they want a refund but they've already paid in full and my contract protects me?
I would not pay them back. if your contract says, like, if they agree to, if they're going to cancel, they have to cancel outside of some window, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they cancel within the window, I don't think you should feel bad about keeping their money.
Well, especially because you passed up
But then you don't perform services. So
but
that kind of feels
exactly what
icky,
you're
but you do pass up other business, which, like, it's just, like, crappy all around.
But that, that was their opportunity to hire Ashley earlier and go back to you and say, I don't want that clause.
And they had an opportunity to get out before, you know? Like, I'm sure your deadline wasn't like, you have to give me a year notice to get out, you know what I mean?
It's
like,
also just not your fault that they imploded their own lives.
And you blocked off that wedding.
Right.
The weekend for them, you know? So I wouldn't feel so about it.
So sticky and icky, though.
I know, this is when it just gets so, like... Yeah. Okay, so back to consequences. Okay, so all I know about consequences is, like, your options as, like, so one time I billed a client and they, like, said that they didn't have the money anymore.
Yeah.
Which is, like, super convenient when work has already been done. Like, my only options I thought were to go to collections, right? But then I'm losing a shit ton of money to collections.
Yeah.
So is there any other enforcement that we can include in contracts?
So like at that point it's kind of up to you to like enforce the contract. So that's why you just want to be like really good about the front end details, because then you're gonna have to, you know, get an attorney to send them a letter demanding payment,
right?
And you're gonna say, you know, if you don't pay by this date, then I'm going to take legal action.
Yeah.
And then it's like up to you to kind of like,
what is the legal action
on that,
because I've threatened it without a word before.
what would be the legal action?
Yeah.
Like serving paperwork?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You got
served. Yeah, it's basically like a debt collection.
Do you have... Oh my god, you guys, I just thought of a reality show where, like, cute Ashley goes around serving people!
No, that's like an out of practice.
But it'd be such a good TV show!
You're like, hi, are you John Smith? You just got served.
Come on, I'll just serve you.
Well,
I would super watch
not
that.
Not only would I like be like like on the crew of that.
Yeah.
I would like to be like a participant.
I wanted to be kind of like next bus. I wanted to somehow have dating involved. And Ashley Hightower.
Just bebop around.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I can imagine Ashley like out of the sunroof of like a limo just going around like, you answer.
Oh my god.
I was here. people on my list if you get served. Yeah. Brandon Sloan, if you're out there listening. She stole $5,000 from me.
That's landlords. That's a different type of law. Real estate law. Okay, so you can serve them, but like, what's the difference between like, so small claims is up to a certain amount, and then beyond that, that's when you would get like an attorney involved.
Yeah, right? You can get an attorney involved before that, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think small claims, you can have an attorney, but you're also allowed to represent yourself in small claims. Like, you can still have an attorney in small claims, right?
Yeah. You can always represent yourself in any court.
I feel like if you want to lose. Can you imagine me and Casey representing ourselves? I object! That's not your job.
That should be.
Okay, so I mean, the whole moral of the story here, everyone, including myself, is like
preparation.
Preparation.
Yeah, have your contract in order. Is think ahead. But you also,
I'm like a very cautious person. I normally am like, okay, like, what is everything that could possibly go wrong, and let me plan for every single thing, and then I actually feel more relaxed about going into a situation.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that the contract stuff, though, when, especially when you're starting out business, you learn as you go, you know, like, nothing is, you don't think of something, but then, you know, from then on, you'll always include that in your contract, so it is, when you're trying to kind of go about it on your own,
learn the hard way,
it's like, you're learning different things, and now you know.
So, I mean, okay, so going back to, like, dissatisfied with product, right, because, like, in a creative space, that is the subjective part. Yeah.
But, like, so when you just said that, I think of, like, a physical product. If you don't like something, you return it for your, like, money back, right? So, like,
but then it has, but then it's work done.
Yeah, but
and it's like based on return policy.
What?
And it's based on like a written return
policy. Yeah, written return policy.
Yeah.
I just want you to get your money back.
I know. Well, so my current situation is that I still owe them in their mind $450, and I'm like, I'm just not paying you any more money.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I'm actually wondering on the flip side. Like, I've now been on both sides of this. I've had somebody not pay me.
Yeah.
Because nothing having to do with my work, they literally, like, we don't have any more money. Mm-hmm. Like, so then you don't hire people. Anyway. Right. But, like, this is, like, a quality of work. Service work that I'm, like, I don't agree that I owe that money.
Right. Well, I mean.
So.
Plus, it's, like, fraudulent sales of a product they weren't actually going to complete.
Right. I mean,
we can talk about it for like hours on.
Guys, I'll post it on Instagram. These emails are amazing, just so that you know what not to do as creatives too. Like, that's what the other thing. I put them on their Google review. I'll also send that around. Because that was like therapy.
Oh my god.
Because what I do when I write emails to like unhappy people.
And they only have one review, it's only you.
Oh god.
Kind of amazing.
The one review.
Like their names are Honor Creative, and I was like, Dishonor Uncreative. I was like, Chris is like, you could have eased up a little bit there. And I was like, no.
Just dishonor just like makes me first think of like Mulan. Just putting that out there. Like the whole song about how she like dishonors her family.
It's a little different.
It's super different, but
I don't know. That's anyway, I'm trying to think of what else as far as the let me look at the questions we got on Instagram
for
you.
Yeah, we got some questions. Well, I think we kind of went over most of them. I know one of them was, like, what do people forget to put in their contracts? And I think...
Yep, we went over that.
You made some really great points there. I'm trying to think of what other questions we got.
I'm going to pull it up real quick, you guys. We had a few people write in, mostly about the wedding industry. Let me see. Okay.
Yeah, I think actually one of the questions was specifically to the wedding industry.
Oh, this is interesting. Go ahead.
Specifically to wedding industry, what do people forget? Or like, what are some important things to include?
So I've done a few wedding, had a few different like wedding planner and wedding events clients. And what I think is interesting in the wedding industry is each wedding planner, event planner, whatever, they're all doing so many different things. So I would say that the best advice I could give is make sure you have a contract for like each service that you're providing, because I know like a lot of the people that I've done work for, like, they need like a rental contract, they need a planning contract, they need a grow contract,
right?
Like, they need to have separate, it's too much to like include everything
in one contract.
So yeah, I would say like maybe like identifying exactly what services you're providing for the bride and groom or whatever, you know, the case may be, and you know, making sure you have a contract for each separate service.
Remember when I got swindled by that one wedding planner? This is my problem. Like, this is why I want to have this conversation, because there's obviously something very wrong with me that I get scammed all the time. But I think it's just because I honestly, I need to go, like, my mindset of Ashley, of, like, prepare for the worst, even when you don't
think that. You need to,
like,
micromanage the people and, like, be like, they probably don't know how to do their job, so they'll let me micromanage.
Well, also, it's just assuming the worst. Like, when people are referred to me, it's kind of like what you said about, like, best friends and contracts. Like, when somebody's referred to me, it's, I kind of just, like, put my trust in it.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't do that. Like, I should, it's okay. It's not, like, insulting.
Yeah.
To contract somebody well.
No.
Just because, like, and that's kind of how I've always been, like, oh, it's so-and-so's friend, like, it's fine. I don't want to, like, insult them by whatever. Yeah. And then I got insulted out of $800 in that situation.
Right.
So.
I mean, if you are working with somebody and they're insulted by wanting a contract, they're probably not going to be great to work with anyway, because I feel like most people are going to be like, yeah, this is probably good for me too,
actually. That's what I think everyone appreciates. So like, especially if you are saying, I have the contract ready for you to look at and sign. Like, I think most businesses and people appreciate that.
For sure. I'm going to ask Casey a question and let you read this and decide if you want to answer it first.
Okay.
Have you had any contract issues before the canceling of the wedding situation?
No, like, I haven't had anybody come back and be like, you know, can you change this in your contract or anything like that. I have had, like, I have a client coming up who has, like, a special job and, like, I can't, like, put, like, advertise with, like, his face or any, like, likeness to him, which is fine. So I changed my contract for that, and that was, like, I was very, like, willing to do that, because it's, like, a unique situation.
Oh, that's interesting, because I had somebody also, recently, like, it was an elopement that my friend was photographing, and they, like, it was a true elopement, like, their families don't know, and all that kind of stuff, and so the photographer wasn't allowed to post it anywhere, and so the photographer was like, okay, well, I'm gonna charge more. Because part of the benefit that I get out of these photos is I get to use them for whatever. And
but also, like, I think with elopement, sometimes you could do it where it's, like, there's, like, a date where, like, they're going to tell their family by, and by this date you can, like, share photos.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't, like, ask any more questions, but I was like, oh, damn, more expensive to get eloped.
A lot of people do charge if they can't use photos for advertisement, they pay or they ask for what it's called, like, a disclosure fee or
Cool. Okay, so this is a question that we got on Instagram, and to me it's kind of twofold, because I have had one experience with part of a contract. So the question is, since the Me Too movement, I've heard people are being adding a related cause to their contracts. Do you recommend doing this? On another separate thing, I have seen in photographer contracts, like, sexual harassment clauses, and honestly, mostly related to, like, drunk groomsmen for, like, second shooters.
I have that clause in my contract that if at any point, well, it's also, like, if at any point I feel sexually harassed or not safe, I can leave the job immediately with no, like, repercussions.
Gotcha.
I think that's really wise. And I did not know that existed until I started working with photographers on their contracts, and they brought that up and said it's, like, a real problem. And also, photographers, I've done some contracts for them where they're hiring second shooters, and so also in your, like, the main photographer's contract, when they're hiring the second shooter, just saying that the head photographer is not responsible for any of, like, anything that happens, and that they also have the right to, like, leave or report immediately to the head photographer that that's happening.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's definitely smart to include that.
Yeah.
For sure.
In this day and age.
It doesn't hurt, right?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't hurt.
And, like, I do think that you should feel comfortable if you're in any situation like that to, like, leave immediately.
Right.
Not, like, because my contract says I don't have to tell anyone.
Right.
I can just leave.
And hightail it out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
So.
I mean, it's kind of, to me, makes sense to put it in any creative contract, whether it's photography or not, like, just to have it in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Only because.
I mean, like, verbal abuse and stuff like that, too. Like, it's just done, it's over.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Wish that was an old job I had in my contract. Wish there were contracts at that job, too. None of us had a contract at
Bloomberg. Yeah, never signed a contract at Bloomberg.
Contracts are very entertaining for me, if we're being honest.
Oh, man.
Okay, so I'm just going to ask you kind of like a final question because we skipped over the fun stuff. What do you do for like self-care and like a morning routine since you're a morning person?
Okay, so I'm just going to go with my old morning routine. Okay.
Well, I'll see you again in a month.
It took me a long time to like get used to working from home, so like don't beat yourself up if you're like
getting into the rhythm right away.
No one does.
I'll go through my morning routine. Okay. I'll tell you like the one thing that's changed on some of the days. So I still wake up at 5 every day. It's really helpful that Michael also wakes up at 5. We both get up at the same time. So get up at 5. I take a shower immediately because it wakes me up.
Wow.
Casey's like, nope, that's like, where we stop.
That's like the last thing on my list when I wake up.
It immediately wakes me up and I'm like ready for the day.
Wow.
Then I stumble to the kitchen and I eat breakfast. So I make coffee and I usually have the same thing every day for breakfast.
What do you have?
Toast and some strawberries.
Cute.
My coffee. And then I work from probably like 5:30 to 7:30 on the blog. So it's usually the post that's going up that day.
Okay.
And it's usually published by like 7:30.
Okay.
So kind of do that, and then you start to run out the door.
Or
be ready. I'll spend like 45 minutes getting ready, and then rush out the door. But I still like will sit around in my room during that time, and then I like get ready for the day at 7:45 or 8, and I get dressed.
So productive.
Move to my kitchen table. I think the only thing that's changed now is sometimes if I have like today, I have some stuff after work hours, so I went to work out in the morning, which is so nice.
Nice.
I used to couldn't do that, but I have time to like shower and all that.
I still feel like a lady of leisure. I go to the gym on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 to work with my trainer, and I always feel like a lady of leisure.
Yeah.
It is so nice to like be able to work out on your own terms.
Yeah, it's nice. But I will say I was very surprised. So I went to 7 a.m. SoulCycle this morning, and then I was going to hit up the grocery store because I thought I'll knock that out for the week, and Trader Joe's doesn't open until 8. I'm like, what? Like, why are you not
opening the 5, Trader Joe's?
Does nobody need to go to the grocery store before 8?
Yeah, that's like, weird. Whole Foods is open at 7.
Yeah. So weird. There was like a herd of people standing outside.
Seriously?
That's so funny.
Okay, that was my major. I think I probably repeated it a million times. I'm just going to keep being joyful. I never go to the grocery on a weekend again.
Yeah, I agree.
Ever again.
We only do because Richard buys the groceries.
Yeah, you don't even know how to go to the grocery store.
We usually get groceries delivered, but I think I'll stop now.
It's lovely. Like on a Monday morning at the grocery store, it's like beautiful.
Yeah.
Like all the little veggies are color coordinated.
Yeah, everything is
so nice. You're like, I have the pick of the whatever.
Richard likes to like, he will literally wake me up at 7 o'clock on Sunday and be like, okay, like, can you be ready to go to Whole Foods in 20 minutes or should I go alone? And I'm like, hi. Here's my list.
Alexa lists. Let's change
that. But Sunday morning is probably just as good as a weekday.
Yeah.
In Old Town, because like lots of people go to church in Old Town. Mm. We don't, obviously.
So. Instacart is good if you like don't want to go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird. I'm about somebody picking out my like produce.
Yeah, they're pretty good though. Okay. I just would specify, like, I'll say soft avocado.
Oh,
They're pretty good at it.
Okay. Yeah, because avocados are kind of hard.
Yeah.
They get very picky about them.
When they're, well, that means they're not ripe.
No, like if you want.
Like, I want to eat it the next day.
Yeah, like I'm hungry now. I don't want to look at my avocado until 2 days from now. Okay, thank you so much. This was so informative. Hopefully I didn't, like, grill you too.
No, wait, can I be, like, an attorney and give, like, a disclaimer?
Please.
Yes,
okay,
please.
None of this is legal advice. It's all for educational purposes only.
Yay! That was the most official factual announcement ever. So where can we find you online?
Yeah, so you can find me on my contracts Instagram at contracts4creatives.
Okay.
And then my website is my name, Ashley Hightower. It's Ashley with two E's.
Yeah.
Hightower.com.
Cool. So fun. Thank you so much. Thanks so much, guys.
As always, if you love this episode, please, for the love of God, leave us an iTunes review and 5-star rating. We love you.
And if you're in Arkansas, listen.
Yeah, and wait, if you are from Arkansas listening right now, like, please email us. We'll send you something. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.